morning, church family. Today I will be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15 through 55. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed, for this body must come imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortal. But when this body will have come imperishable, and this mortal will have to put on immortal, then this is written what will happen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Hates, where is your victory? May God add a blessing to the reading of this book. Thank you. Amen.
I want to first thank the praise and worship team. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? I just tell them what I want to talk about, and Holy Spirit puts it on their hearts what music to play. Thank you for the reading of the word. I want you all to give another round of applause. I'll tell you why. She took this under short notice. She walked into the hallway this morning, and that's when she found out that she would be reading the scriptures. Ain't that wonderful? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And as the scripture has been read already, the part of the scripture I want to focus on is, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And as I read that particular part, there's another scripture that comes to mind, and it's across in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took their spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Do we live our lives looking for God, looking for Christ on the cross? As you can see, he ain't there. He's not there. He's gone, no longer on the cross. So today we're going to focus on the living Christ. Amen? A loving God, our merciful Father God, we come into your presence humbly, great God, with open hearts and open minds to receive your word. Thank you, great God, for the word that you're about to provide. Thank you, great God, for the sustenance, the bread of life that you're about to give to your people. And we pray, great God in heaven, that you would remove me out of the way, that my personal biases, that my personal beliefs, Father, will not be a part of this, but that you, great God in heaven, will be magnified and that you only will be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you look for the living among the dead? One of the very interesting things is that in the field of psychology, we have this thing called plasticity. And what that is, it's the ability of the brain to change its way, to change the way it thinks, to change the way it does things. Right? And one of the difficulties that we as human beings come across is that when this plasticity is in progress, it feels a little bit uncomfortable. So most of the life of the human being, what it is that we look at, what we experience from the day of Adam, basically, to now, we still have people who live a life based on death and the fear of death. So much so that even during the what we call the Old Testament times, okay, God gave Israel certain laws, sacrificial laws, and he said that If you kill, you sacrifice. If you lie, there's a sacrifice. If you steal, cheat, or conniving, or any type of thing like that, that there's some type of sin, there is a sacrifice. I mean, I would hate to be an animal during that time. Because every single time something happens, it's like, hey, look out, one of us gonna get it. I mean, and the question is, even now, we look back at that and we wonder, well, I wonder sometimes, did God really have to institute a sacrifice? Is there really a need for a death? Because if God is sovereign, I'm just asking questions now, right? If God is sovereign and God is all-powerful, almighty, he makes the rules and ain't nobody break them, right? If God is so powerful and sovereign, can't he just say, okay, your debt is forgiven, no need for you to die? I don't know, just thoughts. So why was there a sacrifice necessary? Number one reason is because God said so. Don't ever let your mind stray from that one fact. God said so. But as I thought about this, I'm wondering, well, what is the reason God said so? Because he's all powerful? Yes, he can do that, right? But usually there's a reason behind the way God moves. You know, that's the way he rolls. And what I thought about is, of course, I said many times that I believe I truly started to understand God when I became a parent. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I see heads going, yeah. I believe I truly began to understand God when I became a parent. Because some of you all remember back in those days, you know, you want to take them back, right? But you didn't because you love them. But they're doing stuff, they're doing things that is contrary to the way that you want them to grow up, right? So then what happens now is that you institute not what we call a punishment, we institute things that they need to do so that we can change behaviors. Just so that you all know, listen to the example, right? Okay, I know none of you kids ever did that, and adults, you all never did this as kids. You walk into that store, you may or may not have money in your pocket, but that piece of candy, oh, it looks so good right about now. And I don't want to have to pay for it because why should I pay for it if I can just pick it up and put it in pocket, right? You don't have to admit to it, right? So then what did your parents do? What do you as a parent do? And here's the sequence of events. The parent finds out, and then what the parent does, the parent says, okay, you are going to take this candy back to Mr. John at the store. You're going to apologize for taking what did not belong to you. Y'all remember that? Then we need to explain to Mr. John, why is it that we allow the devil to enter our frame of thinking? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We got to explain why is it that we did it to Mr. John. And as if that's not embarrassing enough, we got to stay in Mr. John's store for that entire week to work. Now, was that punishment? Not really. But why was that done? It was done so that every single time after that you go into Mr. Johnstone, you see that candy? I bet you you think twice, three, maybe four times before you even pick it up. So the purpose of the animal sacrifices was so that we can remember. Now, some say that the purpose of the animal sacrifice Some say that the purpose of the animal sacrifice is sort of like a precursor of Jesus Christ coming to pay the ultimate sacrifice for us. We can have two reasons. Right? When Jesus comes, he pays that sacrifice, and it's the same issue, so that we can remember what is it that we are doing. We can remember the blood of Christ. We can remember what exactly it is that it cost. Because all of those animals, it cost them their lives. My sin cost an animal to die. my sin caused Jesus Christ to die. Did Jesus Christ really have to die? I mean, he's sovereign, right? God is sovereign. He can say, well, you know what? I don't really need a sacrifice. You said you're sorry? Okay, fine. We're good with that. But as human beings, we need a reminder. We need a reminder. Any of us fit that category? Of individuals who need to be reminded. Because what did God tell Israel? He says, when you come out of the land that I will take you out of Egypt, and you go into that land that flows with milk and honey, I want you to remember me. It's reminders. And one of the things that we look at in the scripture is when Jesus is on the cross. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the cross. On Thursday night, we had a reminder. We celebrated that time when Jesus was placed on the cross. He went to death for us. He died so that we can live. He died as a demonstration of his love for us. I love you so much that I've come to this earth. I withstood all of the ridicule. I withstood everything that people tossed at me. And then finally, there's this one thing called death. Do you know that even today, even among Christians, we have a fear of death? Let me demonstrate. In the English language, we have close to 70 euphemisms for death. Kick the bucket, no longer with us, pushing daisies, gone to a higher place. I mean, you name it, it goes on and on. And the one that I hate the most, expired. You know, it's almost as though we have a shelf. Yes, we do have a shelf life, right? But come on, expired. All of which to say, in the Christian community we say going home. And even though that might be true, do we really, really believe the way we say we believe? Right? Is there a fear of death in us? Because one of the things Christ did is he came to earth, right? Remember? He came to earth and he faced death. As he was growing up, last time I spoke about it. He was growing up and he could see the crosses lining the streets of all those people who defied the Roman Empire. So he grew up knowing exactly that he will be placed on a cross and that he will die a humiliating death. And what did he do? In effect, what he said is this. This last enemy called death, I'm going to show you how I conquer death. You know, it's kind of like the same that parents do. Parents demonstrate to their children, it's okay. Remember when you wanted to give your children that medication? And you took a little taste. It's okay. Mommy tasted it. We do it when the food is hot also, right? And sometimes what happens, people even, you go to the beach and you want to get into the water and, you know, it's kind of cold there. And somebody runs into the water and says, oh, it's okay. And it's splash water and you hate that. They splash water on you, and what happens? You start to get a little bit of confidence that if they can do it, I can do it also. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He went onto the cross and he said, okay, death, of course he didn't want to go through it, right, as you said. Right? He said, if this could pass from me, then please. But you know what? I'm going to do this. And he got onto the cross, allowed himself to be placed on the cross, and he died. And as if death wasn't enough, he said, well, to be sure, right? So that there are no people who says, well, he wasn't really dead. He was just under one of those hallucinatory drugs that make your pulse rate come way, way down, that it almost seemed like a death, right? He said, I'm going to be there for 3 days, right? He said, check it out. In advance, he told them, he said, I'll be there for 3 days. Three. And what did he do? He was dead for 3 days. And on the third day, he says, you know, enough. Let's get up now. So even death couldn't hold him in the grave. Death had no power over him. And what it shows is that, you know, our greatest fear, death. Is that all you got? And what? And what? What else? Is that all you got? Bring it on. And check this out. I don't know, just a little mind twister here now. Jesus is God. The Word is God. Jesus died, therefore God died, right? So if God died, isn't it amazing that he died and he resurrected himself? Only God.
Amen.
I mean, what else? Is this all this world has? Because the Apostle Paul said, listen, if there's no resurrection, our lives, it's in vain. If there's no resurrection, why are we doing this? You see, but there is a resurrection. The cross is empty. And when he rose from the dead, the angel said, why do you search for the living among the dead? And remember earlier I talked about the psychology part of it, that is difficult for us to change our mindsets, right? While the plasticity happens, what occurs is that it becomes a little bit uncomfortable. And most of our lives we've been hearing Christ on the cross. Christ died for us. Yes, he did. No, don't get that wrong. Christ on the cross, Christ died for us. And we need to look towards the cross as a reminder. And yes, we do remember. But the reason why we remember is because we are off doing other things. And the things that we are off doing is we are now living. We are living a life in Christ, a life that's free. A life that's free from pain and from sin. Because one of the things that I'm amazed at is that we go to Christians and we say, hey, how are you doing? I don't mean you, but right? Oh, I'm struggling. Oh, woe is me. Hey, so how are you doing? Oh, man, if I were to tell you. You all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it is hard. You know, and some of us even go as far as saying, well, different days, same stuff. I mean, really? And we are believers, right? We nailed all of our sins to the cross. Christ really died for our sins, didn't he? Right? But see, reality is this, that Christ is living. And Christ will come again. You see, we live a life already in victory. Right? Because we got the... Okay. I've got the victory. I got the sweet, sweet victory in Jesus. For me, he died and he rose on the third day. That's why I have true victory every day. Yeah. I got the victory. Yeah. You see, we live our lives in victory to Christ. And Christ is saying, listen, I conquered death. Death has no power over me. Take my hand. Right? And I will show you, he says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, no, I was hearing another song. Because as he says, put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. So we know the songs, right? We know the songs. And Christ is saying, I conquered death. What else? Death, where is your sting? What else? Because I don't know. I'm just a mortal man. I've been here, well, I think 55 years on this planet, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know what? Christ did everything that he could do for us. I mean, what more? He demonstrated his love. I mean, what greater love had a man than to give up his own life, right? And he didn't just talk about giving up a life on a cross. He talked about the life that he lived was for us, right? And he says, I give it all up for you. I put myself on the cross, even though I had the power to bring down legions of angels. I mean, knowing him, he didn't even need an angel, really. Okay? But he did it all for us. So we live a life now in victory. But unfortunately, what happens is that, I don't know, probably the person sitting next to you, not you, right? We have this thing in our minds where we are defeated. That yes, Christ died for me and he's on the cross, and then I always have to be looking towards the cross, but not looking forward to what God says we need to be doing as people. Because he says that if you are my disciples, you're going to love one another. If you're my disciples, as the song says, right? The song that we sang, I can't remember which one, okay? But in one of the songs that you all sang, it talks about doing the will of God, that the love that you showed to me, I'm not going to show it to somebody else. That's what we need to be about doing. Get out of our own heads. Get off of ourselves. It's not about you, really. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It ain't about you, Sharon, right? It ain't about you. Sorry. It ain't about you either, right? It's about Christ. What is Christ doing, right? Because what Christ says, he says, listen, since I've conquered death, let's move on. Follow me. I know the way, right? Because I am the way. Because I am the truth. I am the light. You see, I'm the gatekeeper here. I'm keeping this gate here. You don't have to worry because whoever wants to come to you, they got to go through me first. All you got to focus on is, what is the work that I sent you to do? Earlier we saw just the one. And it really has only two meanings. Just the one is Jesus Christ. And just the one is that one person that you're discipling this year. Pretty simple, right? Ain't rocket science. So what it comes down to, and this is I'm sort of like wrapping things up here, right? What it comes down to is, since Christ has died for us, what ought you to be doing? We heard the words of the song that was mimed, right? What if? And the reality is that we've already been forgiven. Move on. Pick up your things and move on. Because I know for a fact that there are some people in here who are holding on to old stuff, right? It's like we say we are going to give it all up for Christ, but you know, there's this little thing, God, you know, can't really give this up. We call those the little secret sins that God don't know about, right? I'm being facetious, okay? Those little secret sins that God don't know about, we sort of like keep it really close to us, right? Say, oh, I can. Or maybe it might be those things that we are too ashamed to go to God and say, God, this is the fifth time, right? Or maybe it's something that happened in your past. We know a whole bunch of stuff happens behind closed doors, right? We come to church and church is all nice and we sit in nice, comfortable seats. But at home, behind closed doors, things happen. At work, things happen. Today when you came in, you were given a small sheet of paper. And what I'm going to ask you to do is write, make a note of that one thing that you want to give up for Christ. What is it that you need forgiveness for? Do not put your name on it. Right? What is it that you want to take to the cross today, right now? Because we know that Jesus died. But sometimes there are these things that just hold us back from really worshiping Christ. Is it your job? Is it lying? Is it stealing? Is it a lack of faith? Is it a lack of confidence? Is it a lack of trust that you don't really trust God? You know, I can believe that he died for my sins, you know, but that's as far as it can go. Is it trust is an issue? If you don't have one of those slips of paper, just put your hand up and Miranda will bring one to you. What is it that prevents you from having a 199% relationship, growing in relationship with Jesus Christ? I want you to put that thing on that sheet of paper. Now, if you need two or three sheets of paper, that's okay. Right? We can get you that too. But this here is between you and your Creator God. Miranda? So prayerfully between you and God, what is it? And sometimes it might be something that you just can't put your finger on. Is it abuse? Is it substance abuse? Is it pornography? Ooh, I said the big B word. Right? Is it that we love ourselves too much? What is it? And what I'm going to ask you to do in a couple of minutes is the ushers are going to help us, right? We have across here the cross. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to fold that piece of paper. Of course, we're going to keep it all confidential. This is between you and God. And we're going to nail those sins to the cross. We're going to come up, we're going to nail those sins to the cross, and we're going to leave it there. And after you nail the sin to the cross, you're going to walk across in front here, and you're going to receive the body of Christ. You're going to receive the blood of Christ because you just nailed it to the cross. So we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Not only Lord, not only Savior, sorry, it's Lord also. That means he's the master of your life. We accept the bread that's broken as atonement for our sins, the sin that you nailed to the cross. And then when you finish here, you're going to come across to this corner and you're going to get a little token. You can get a little token. And what this token is, I don't have one with me, but as soon as Mr. Bellamy gets it, I'll show it to you. It's a nail. A nail with the blood of Christ on it. And this is a reminder that, yes, your sin has been nailed to the cross. Leave it there. Right? It's symbolic of the sin that's being nailed to the cross. It's also symbolic of the fact that if you have a nail, and this nail was on the cross holding Christ up, and you're now in possession of it, is it possible that he's still on the cross? No, there's no nail to hold him, right? So therefore what happens is that this nail becomes significant. It becomes symbolic that Christ is risen. Do not look for him on the cross. It's gone. It's done. As he said, it's finished. So we move on. We have a Christ who lives. A Christ who is our high priest. Our Christ who is the one who is the go-between. Our intercessor. And he says, worship me. A living Christ. Not a dead dude on the cross. Amen? Amen. So if you can get the elders... we're going to do the communion. We're just going to ask the elders to get into position so that we can have everyone ready and in place. And I'm going to say that during the week, we're going to remove these, make a note of it, and we will be praying over all of these issues, all of these sins. Now, there are about 120 nails on the cross there, so I think we have room for everyone. However, if you don't find a nail, okay, just put it on somewhere. And attached to the nail, there's a little tag, a reminder. It says, forgiven. What if, as the song says, what if, forgiven. What if, forgiven. What if, forgiven. I don't know, I used to look at the WWF, and I used to like The Rock. You remember, kids, you all know The Rock? Yeah. He's a movie star now, but he used to be a wrestler, right? He used to be a football player from Miami, okay? And he would say, it don't matter what you think. The bottom line is, you're forgiven. Amen? Amen? So I want you to prepare your minds and prepare your hearts as the ushers and the elders are preparing the meal for us. And as they do that, get into that prayerful mode. Talk with Jesus. What is it that we are holding back? And then I want you to come up and place it on the cross.